Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Have you ever had someone make a promise and then not come through? Break that promise? Anybody? I tell them every week I'm only going to preach for 30 minutes. And they say, he won't. You know, you've probably heard the phrase, promises were made to be broken. I did a quick search on that this week to find out what the origins of that was, and nobody knows. But it stuck because we know it's pretty much seems to be true. Maybe you've had someone promise something. Maybe a friend said they would always be there for you, and then they weren't. Maybe a parent promised to show up, and they didn't. Maybe the boss promised you a raise or a promotion because you did all the extra work and didn't show up when the kid expected you, and then they didn't. Maybe someone promised to keep a secret that you confided in, and then they shared it on the prayer chain. Life is full of broken promises. And when promises break, something inside of us breaks as well. What happens is when enough promises fall apart, we adapt. We learn to stop trusting. We learn to brace for disappointment. We learn to stop hoping. That's why this December, we're taking a fresh look at hope and trying to replace that myth about hope that we have, or that our reality about hope, actually, with something that's unshakable, anchoring it to something that's unshakable. It's a Christmas of hope. And if you miss a Sunday, if you're traveling during this season, of course, you can always go back and you can grab the messages on YouTube or on our app and all those things. So make sure you avail yourself to that. Or if you know someone else that is maybe feeling a little bit hopeless and needs some encouragement, maybe you can share it with them. But here's the problem with our hope. The problem with our hope is where we anchor it. See, we live in a world where hope feels fragile and promises feel temporary, and even that word promises, I don't think we really understand it. Circumstances and experiences in our lives become louder than the truth, because our hope is often anchored in things that move, like people, emotions, finances, opportunities and outcomes, those things that are shifting. No wonder hope feels so slippery. We're trying to build something solid on things that are shaky. What does all that have to do with Christmas, you might be wondering? Well, here's the good news. Christmas is not built on human promises. Christmas is built from God's promises. And God has never broken a promise, not one. And see, Christmas can pull us back to a hope that doesn't shift with our circumstances. It invites us to anchor our hope in someone unshakable. See, hope isn't something that humans invented. Hope is something that God initiated. He promised to send light into darkness, and he delivered on that hope. When we open up our copies of the Bible, it doesn't take very long, if we start in the front, before the wheels come off. The first two chapters of the book of Genesis, we see God creating everything, including human beings. He places the two human beings in paradise and tells them that they can have pretty much free reign of the garden, and he wants them to care for the garden and all the animals and to be fruitful and multiply. And it was actually a pretty cushy gig at that point. Then we turn the page to chapter 3. And the serpent enters. The serpent is the devil. And he goes and he has this chat with Eve, and he says, Eve, hey, God is holding out from you. Oh, by the way, God gave them one rule. Just don't eat of this one certain tree. And Satan tells Eve, hey, God's holding out on you because he knows that when you eat the fruit from that tree, you're going to be just like him. He's offering Eve a hope of something even better than what she was already experiencing. And she buys into that as well as her husband, Adam, there. And they eat the fruit. And that messes up everything. And, of course, God shows up and says, hey, what's going on, guys? And the blame game starts. Adam said, God, it's the woman that you gave me. So he's actually blaming God. And then, of course, Eve says, it was the serpent. The devil made me do it. And then God talks to the serpent, and he lays down some consequences. And here we see the problem. The problem is that darkness had entered into the world. Genesis 3 shows humanity's fall. And in that very moment, fear entered the world. Shame entered into the world. Death entered into the world. Those things were non-existent before. They didn't understand what fear and shame and death were all about before that moment. And we still feel that darkness today, don't we? Just read the headlines. Just look around in our world. There's wars, there's fighting, there's sickness, there's pain. We see it in the heaviness that we carry, the struggles in our very own hearts. And sin didn't just enter the world, it fractured everything. It fractured our relationship with God. It fractured our relationship with each other. The reason you have a problem with the person sitting beside you sometimes is because sin entered the world, because darkness entered the world. It fractured even our very identity, who we are as people. It fractured our peace and literally the whole world. And we see the ripple effects in our broken families and in our anxious minds, in our loneliness, in tragedy, in injustice, in the ache that's inside of us. The world needed rescuing. You and I need rescuing. See, hopelessness began in the garden. But hope also began there. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, it says, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust, as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. This is God's first promise to the world. There's a theological term, and by the way, you guys are smart, so we're going to go deep for about a minute here, okay? Is that all right? There's a theological term here called the proto-evangelium, right? Say that with me. Proto-evangelium. Okay, three people said it. Now, all together on three. One, two, three. Proto-evangelium. All right, good job. Now, go home and work that into a conversation today. All right. And it comes from the Greek, two Greek words, protos, meaning first, and evangelion, meaning gospel or good news. Right? And what that, you put that together and it says it's the first announcement of good news. That's the first time God had announced the good news of the gospel here in Genesis 3:15. This is the first whisper of Christmas. This is the first time that we see the promise that one day someone is going to come and crush evil at its root. That's what's going on there in Genesis chapter 3 after the fall of humanity. The world broke in Genesis 3, but hope was promised in Genesis 3. You ever walk into a dark room and you're trying to find the light switch? Maybe it's an unfamiliar place and you're trying to find that switch and you're bumping into the furniture, stubbing your toe, and then you step on Lego and invent new swear words. The moment you find the switch and the light comes on, everything changes. You can see your way clear. That's Genesis 3. Darkness entered into the world, but so did the promise that God would one day turn the light on. The Christmas story doesn't begin with lights and angels and shepherds. It begins with a world in desperate need of hope and the promise that a Savior would enter into the world. That's what we see in Genesis 3, a promise that someone would come and undo what sin had done, reverse the curse, and turn the darkness into light, defeat darkness at its root. As the story of Scripture unfolds, we see the promise continually expanding, and depending on how you count it, in Jesus, somewhere between 100 and 450 different prophecies and promises are fulfilled in Jesus, in his birth and in his life. We're going to look at a couple of those today. We see that the promises are, or the promise was repeated, it was revealed, it was reinforced. First of all, to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, all the families on earth will be blessed through you. That's the promise of a global Savior, someone who could take care of everyone's sin. And then to Judah, the tribe that Jesus came from, and there was a promise that there would be an everlasting throne, and that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. To David, God promises, again, that everlasting throne fulfilled in Christ. He repeats that to David. And then the promise, again, is repeated and revealed and reinforced through the prophets. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says that Christ would be born, the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 tells us that Christ would come born of a virgin. Matthew reiterates that in the lineage of Christ. And then Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, we see light breaking into darkness. And Isaiah says it very clearly like this. A child is born to us. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, the promise is crystal clear. A Savior is going to be born. A Savior would enter the world. Generation after generation, God keeps saying, hey, I haven't forgotten. I said it way back in Genesis that I would send hope. I would send a Savior. And every one of those promises, spanning thousands of years and spoken across generations, was fulfilled when a baby was born in Bethlehem. Not one promise failed. Not one detail fell through. Not one word slipped. God's track record is flawless. And that's where hope comes from. And that's where the proof is that God's promises can be trusted in this world. There's a problem. Darkness entered. There was a promise that the Savior would come. And the proof, what we can hang our hope on, what we can anchor our hope to, is that God's promises can be trusted even in this world. The promise took thousands of years, but not one part failed. From the time Isaiah wrote those words, 700 years passed. Pastor Inike will be talking a lot about this next week, about hope being delayed, and what do we do when our hope is delayed and we're starting to wonder if it's going to come true. I'm sorry, I'm not going to preach a sermon right now, but I want to. Imagine telling your great, 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 great grandchildren to hang on to something you said. If I promise something to my kids, there's a fair chance that by this afternoon, I'm going to forget it. And they're going to remind me. And I think they make stuff up sometimes to remind me. You promise it, it's like, I don't remember. Yeah, anyway. But I've learned something, though, with my grandkids. Grandkids are so different. They're wonderful, aren't they? Any grandparents? Oh, wow. You're missing out if you're not a grandparent. If I promise something to them, I probably won't remember it tomorrow, but it doesn't matter because they're going to get whatever they want anyway, right? And then I'm going to send them right back home, hyped up on sugar and spoiled. But I've learned that with my grandkids, I got to be very specific when I say stuff. When they ask for something, you need to say yes or yes. Or no, right. See, there's no in between. They don't understand maybe or I'll think about it. If you tell someone maybe when they ask about something or, oh, we'll see, what do you really mean? They know they have no chance, right, at that point. If you said maybe or we'll see, let's see what happens, they know it's not happening. Well, see, our grandkids haven't got to the place of understanding that because they haven't had their hopes dashed that many times yet, right? So they think, wow, that's a real possibility. And then by the time that time comes along, maybe later, well, when later gets there, 30 seconds later, they're going to say, you said later, it's later. I said, maybe later. Yes or no? See, God made promises that stretched across generations. Through empires, through wars, through kings and kingdoms, and he kept every single one of them. That's not human faithfulness. That's divine faithfulness. It's impossible for us. When we make promises, we have every intent a lot of times of keeping those promises, but we're human, so sometimes we fail. It's not a problem for God. Why? Because he says this, scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. See, God's promises are not fragile. They're not temporary. They're not just wishful thinking. God's promises are reliable because God himself is reliable. We need to anchor hope on that. See, Christmas is God's proof he can be trusted. If he kept the promise to send a Savior, and I'm talking to people who are already following Jesus right now, if he kept that promise, why would he not keep the other promises that he's given to you today? See, his promises don't expire, they don't weaken, they don't get canceled. So here's the question. What promise are you holding on to, or do you need to be holding on to this Christmas? See, because God didn't just promise a Savior. He promised a lot of other things too. Look at this. He promised his presence. I will never leave you. He promised his peace. Anybody need some peace? He says, I will give you peace. Anybody feel weak? He promised that he would renew your strength. Anyone feel like you don't have enough sometimes? Like you lack? Well, he says, I will supply all your needs. He promises to provide for us. Anyone ever wonder, how in the world is this going to play out in a good way? Well, he promises that he's going to work all things together for good. You know what else he promised? He also promised. Now, I've been talking to those that are already following Jesus. For those that aren't yet, he promised that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He is faithful. He promised salvation and forgiveness. So the question isn't, does God make or does God keep promises? The question is, do we trust him? For some of you, your hope has been tethered to something or someone that is shifting. Today is the moment that you need to anchor your hope to a stable foundation. Hebrews chapter 6 says, God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have a great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. I don't know about you today, but I'm tired of the fragile hope. I'm tired of being disappointed and having hopes dashed and all that. And you know why we experience that so much? Because our hope is anchored in the wrong place. Hope is an anchor, but it's only an anchor if it's attached to something solid. If your anchor is tied to circumstances, then as life moves, so does your hope. But if your anchor is in God's promises, which never move, even when the storms come, the rains come, your hope will hold. This Christmas, some of you need to lean in to a promise. You need to grab a hold of a promise. And I don't know what promise you need to grab hold of today. But you need to say, hey, God, my life is shifting and I'm tired of it shifting. Your promise is steady. I want to anchor my hope in you. And for some, you need hope for, maybe it's hope for healing. It's hope for reconciliation of a relationship. Maybe it's hope for provision. You are at a place where you've just lost a job or you're about to lose a job or you haven't had a job in a long time. You need hope for direction. You're wandering around and your life has no direction. You need hope for forgiveness. Some of you need hope for salvation, that you can have an eternity with God in heaven. Hope begins not with what we see, but with what he said. Anchor your hope in the things that he has said. As we begin this series, A Christmas of Hope, I want you to make a commitment to not build hope on circumstances, a commitment to build our hope on God's promises. Because the God who kept the promise to send a Savior is the same God who will keep promises he makes to you today. Did you know that God's promises are greater than your problems? When God makes a promise, hope is inevitable. If God kept his promise then, he will be faithful. You can trust him to keep his promise now. There's an old hymn that some of you that are my vintage or older might remember. It's called Standing on the Promises. It goes, standing on the promises, I cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, that's Jesus, by the way, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. The fifth verse says, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. That's, friends, where your anchor needs to be. So here's my prayer for us this Christmas, that we will be a people who don't build our hope on what we see, but on what God says. We will be a people who do not lean on circumstances, but on his promises. People who believe this simple truth. God promised a Savior and delivered. He will not fail you now. Thank you. He will not fail you now. Father, thank you so much that you are a God who keeps promises. Lord, thank you for making promises. Lord, you owed us absolutely nothing. Lord, we're broken, sinful people. Our ancestors were, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And we replicate that over and over again in our lives. Lord, we're sinners. And you owed us nothing. But you obligated yourself, in spite of us, to send us a Savior. Thank you so much. And Lord, thank you for not changing your mind when things got tough. Thank you for not being like us and shifting that promise when it became obvious that we were going to, at times, just throw it back in your face as a human race. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for fulfillment. And Lord, I pray now that as we lean into who you are, we would just expand our hope. Our hope would deepen for the other things that you promised. Knowing that you'll be with us, we'll have your presence. Knowing that you provided peace and you will provide for all of our needs according to your riches. Lord, I pray that you would help us center our hope and anchor our hope. And Lord, when people disappoint us, when our circumstances shift and we feel that hopelessness creeping in, help us be reminded of our true hope and have confidence in the life you've given us. Because you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.